You are listening to Amud v'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We are at the top of the Daf, so we just started a new parak last Amud, Bameh Behema. What can an animal go out with? And we were discussing different types of animals and different types of restraining objects and decorations that they may or may not go out with. And we just quoted an interesting story about the where someone used this topic as a defense to not offend another Amora that he accidentally went ahead of. So now so we have a related halacha. Tana de Bei Menashe, third line, fourth line. So the Bei Menashe taught the following brisa: Eis shachakak la bein karneha yotza ba'afsar b'shabbes. A goat that had in its horns were had it engraved into it like a hole through which the afsar, the halter would go through it, so it's allowed to go out on Shabbos with that. So again, if there's this, the halter is attached to the goat through its horns, that is acceptable. Rashi explains that im tachlo b'chakikas keren, if it's like inserted into the engraving of the horn, aval b'kashira ba'alma lo, but just tying it to the horns is not okay, because dilma shofa mereisha, maybe it's gonna get it off its head, mitoch sharasha dak, the goats have thin heads, v'himisnatekes, and they'll become like detached, lakan lakan, kishmoshchen osa, when you're pulling it, va'asi le'esuya arba amos b'rishos arabim. What's going to happen? The concern is that the shape of the goat's head and perhaps the horns as well. If you tie it on, it'll slip out, fall off. And if you're leading your goat, what could result is you carrying in Dalad Amos and Rosh Hashanah, and therefore not. And the way Rashi's understanding it, by the way, not all Rishonim understand it like this, but Rashi's understanding it as a halacha. Not really related to what we're talking about shvisas behema, not having your animal work, and what is considered a masoi, a burden for the animal, but rather it's like a separate gzeira, seemingly, having to do with carrying, with hotzah, dalad amos b'rishos harabim, and it just happens to be that this gzeira is made in regards to an animal's animal's afsar. However, other Rishonim will understand it differently. That it's like it's specifically a din in you know what's considered a masoi. Maybe it's not considered a proper masoi. It's not considered a proper restraint if it's not if it's just tied to the goat's horns. If it's not like engraved in. Okay, Boy Rav Yosef asked a question. Tachav la bezikna. Or Zakna, really, right? Not Zikna would be its old age. Zakna is its Zakan. So you, what if it was inserted into the beard of the goat, right? The Zakna, right? Its beard, her beard. I guess female goats also have beards. I guess maybe they're not as long. I don't know. So can you do that? Right, shekasher se'er, says Rashi, because shekasher se'er zakna k'minaka v'tachav ha'afsar l'socho, that you basically take the beard, like Baruch Hashem, I'm able to demonstrate, and you have like you flip it under the put the halter like under, and it's attached through the beard itself, right? So it's not necessarily as loose as what it would be on the horns. Perhaps it's more attached. However, it's definitely not, you know, as simple as being like going through the hole in the horn. So the Gemara now explains Rav Yosef's the two tzadim, right? So he says, Zobai Rav Yosef, Takala be zakna mahu. So kevan de imenatach la kaivla, that do you say that since it, when it loosens, if it'll come to, if it'll try to loosen it, it's going to be kaev, it's going to be pain to her, to the goat, so that the goat, therefore we're not so concerned. So lo asya linatucha, and therefore we're not concerned that it's going to become detached. Odilma zimnin derafev enafil, or maybe sometimes it happens, it'll just become weak and it'll fall off, and then we have the same concern. V'asei latuya arba amos bereshis rabim, right? Which is, this point, by the way, is going to be really what drives Rashi to say what he's saying, right? Because it says explicitly over here in Rav Yosef's question that we're concerned about the dal amos and bereshis rabim. So assuming that it's the same, that these are really the same din. It's connected to the previous teaching. So what do we say? Do we say that it's loose enough that it's going to be, the fact that it'll cause animal pain is enough that it won't become detached from the animal? Or do we say that, no, it can happen and it can lead to this concern? So how do we paskin? Teku. Tanan hasam. We learned in a mission over there, the low, right, and the Gemara, this is going to be later on, Nundal Amud Beis, so a couple of blot, we're going to come up to this Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, V'lo Beretzua Shebein Karneha. That you're not allowed to, so this is talking about a cow. That a cow can't go out on Shabbos with a Ritzua, some sort of strap between its horns. Right, so Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba says that there is a machlokas regarding this. Pligi ba Rav Vishmuel. Rav Vishmuel have a machlokas regarding this. The role of this ritzua regarding the iser of the cow going out with it. Chad Amar Bein Lenoi Bein Le Shamar. Right, one says that it doesn't matter whether the strap is for the purpose of noi, if it's a beautification, it's just a decoration on the cow, or if it's for the shimur, for guarding it or being able to control it. Aser. One of these Amorayim, Rav Shmuel, says that either way it's aser, it doesn't matter. V'chad Amar, the other one says, l'noi aser l'shamar mutar. That if it's for noi, So it's a problem, but for l'shamer, then it is mutter. I'm just rashing phrases. L'shamer says she'ochsabo, that you're able to grab it. And l'noi shetzava v'kola l'noi bein karneha kamin kalia mikaren l'karen ve'ino ochsabo. So it's like something that you don't grab it by, but it's something that looks nice in the middle. And aser, Rashi says depara mintera belo achiza. He says that a cow is guarded without needing to grab it, meaning for cows are usually obedient enough that you don't even need to pull a string for it. You just kind of direct it, you lead it. You don't even need that. Rather, you can just like lead in front of it and it follows you. And this shita that says it's usher, even if it's for right, because both Rav and Shmuel say that if it's for decoration, then it's you can't go out with that. Presumably, Rashi Lashitasu, as we'll see later on, is that it's not a typical decoration for a cow, and it maybe doesn't even wear it like this during the week. So it's, since it's strange for a decoration, a cow wouldn't be able to go out with it. So what about if it's for Lashmira, right? If you're Lo'ochsa, you're trying to guide it. So why is it a machlokas Rav and Shmuel? So one shita says that it's usher because this is considered netirusa yaserasa. It's unnecessary restraint. You don't need that for a cow. Cows are obedient enough without it. So one says, no, netirusa yaserasa is okay. It's not a big deal. But the other Amora says, no, netirusa yaserasa is a problem. And regarding a cow, even just a strap is netirusa yaserasa over here. Okay, so now let's try to identify these opinions. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Tistayim, let's conclude, Dishmuelhu Damar Lanoi. Dishmuelhu Damar Lanoi Asr L'Shamer Mutar. Let's conclude that it's that Shmuel is the one who is makel over here. Why? D'amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel Halacha Kechananya. Right, as we said earlier, that Rav Huna Bar Chiya said in the name of Shmuel that halacha is in accordance with the Chananya, and Chananya was the one that we said in the previous amud, and we also quoted at the top of this amud in that story that we didn't we didn't really do, we just alluded to that Netira Seir Sarah says okay that if there's a little bit of excessive restraint, that is not a problem for the animal to go out that on Shabbos. So it makes sense that Shmuel will be the one who holds like this. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, Andarab, it's just the opposite. Distayim to Shmuel hu damar bein lanoi bein l'shamar asur. It's more logical to say that Shmuel is the one who is the machmir over here. Why? Damar of Yehuda amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, machlifin lifnei Rebbe shel zo bazo mahu. Right, so this we'll have to remember. We're quoting the teaching that we had on the previous Amud, right? So we're it's a quote of Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that they flipped the cases in the Mishnah before Rebbe and asked him, what about Zubazu? What if it's like this with the officer and this Mahu? What's the halacha? And before Rebbe really answered, Amar Lefana Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Kach Amar Abba Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi said, this is what my father Rabbi Yossi would do. Well, we're sorry, this is what he said. Dalid Behemos Yotzos Ba'afsor Hasus Haperid Va'gamal Va'chamor. Lav Lemute Gamal Ba'chatam. Right, so he said that these are the four animals that can go out in the Afsar, in the halter. And then he says, the fact that it listed these four animals, isn't that coming to exclude a gamal with the chatam, with this like heavy nose ring? So Abaye says, you see over here that Rebbe doesn't respond. It looks like Rebbe subscribes to this. So, and again, this is Shmuel quoting it. So Shmuel is quoting Rebbe, and he seems to accept this discussion, and therefore it would seem that Shmuel is machmir regarding even shamer, even excessive restraint, even an object that is an object that is excessive restraint would be considered a masui. Now, one thing that we have to mention over here is that I don't know if you got a chance to do chazar from the last amud, but there was a line that followed where Rebbe rejects that. Right, where Rebbe says, you see in the previous Amud, that Rebbe says, no, maybe it's not to exclude that, maybe it's to exclude this. So Rebbe doesn't really seem to accept it. We only quoted part of the story over there, and it would seemingly make a big difference. Meaning the assumption over here is that Shmuel quotes this story, and this story concludes with the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, which implies that Netirusa Yerasa is a problem, and that we assume Shmuel holds like that. However, if you look at the actual story in its completion on the previous Amud, there's another line where Rebbe responds to Rebbe Yishmael Bar Rebbe Yossi and seems to argue, and if Shmuel is quoting this whole thing, so perhaps Shmuel indeed would disagree with this. But the full story isn't quoted over here. It's a discussion to be shown, but we'll see if maybe we can explain it as we go on. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so let's. Okay, so now the Gemara then says, "Sameha makmeha." So like, I think it's like a lesson of like to blind. It's like knock out this one instead of this one, right? Because now we have two teachings from Shmuel. One of them is the psak that Shmuel holds like Chananya, meaning Netirusa Yiserasa is not considered a masoi. And it's okay if there's just a little bit of excessive restraint. That's not a problem on Shabbos for the animal to go out with that. And then there's this other teaching of Shmuel that Abaye is claiming, right? Abaye is claiming that Shmuel holds of this statement of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and the implication of it. Meaning, which would be that Tirusei Seirasa, excessive restraint, is not a masoi. So now, the Gemara just says, What you should do, knock out the first version, meaning what Rav Yosef originally suggested, and accept Abaye's approach, and the the teaching of Shmuel quoted by Abaye. I mean, like, just I'm sorry if this is not clear. We seem to have two teachings of Shmuel. Neither one is really explicit. Well, one of them is more explicit. We have two teachings of Shmuel that would seem to have conflicting opinions, right? One of them is really a little bit more is more explicit, and then you have one that's less explicit. But Abaye is claiming implicitly says that Shmuel holds the Tirusa Yisrasa is a problem. So we have two things quoting Shmuel. Obviously, Shmuel doesn't hold like both. So we're going to have to suggest one of them is a mistake. Or something like that, misquoted. So now, the Gemara says, Sameha Makmeha. So throw out Rav Yosef's, which is that Shmuel holds like Hananya, and accept Abaye's, which is the implication of that story in the previous Amud. So the Gemara says, Umaychazis Dimisamesha Makmeha, Sameha Makmeha. Why did you choose that one instead of this one? You should choose this one over that one. And especially if we include the parenthesis over here, da ashkechan, because we even find Shmuel who da amar lenoi aser l'shamer mutter, because we have found an explicit statement where Shmuel says that for noi it's aser and for shamer it's mutter. De itmar of chia barashi amar rav, bein lenoi, bein l'shamer, aser. V'Rav Chiya bar Rav Avin Amar Shmuel Lenoi Aser L'Shamer Mutter. So we have a very explicit talking about our exact case. So if you got to choose one or the other, it makes a lot more sense to choose Rav Yosef's original suggestion, not Abaye's, and that to quote the teaching that Shmuel holds like Hananya, that would be the correct approach. Now I would add. Especially so if you take a look at Abaye's source, where there's a postscript where Rebbe rejects that approach, right? Like, are you familiar with what I'm saying? Where Rebbe rejects it? Is that, let's just take a look on the previous Amud just so we can appreciate this line, right? So, here we go. Right, so it's like in the middle of the new perek, right? Close to the middle of the Amud as well, right? So where we quote, so Amar lefan of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi, Kach Amar Abba, Arba Behemos Yotos Ba'afsar Hasus Va'Per Va'Gama Va'Chamar Limute Mai. Lav limute gamal b'chatam, and then that's all Abaye quoted. But if you read a little bit more, the Gemara responds, seemingly Rebbe responding, "Lo limute naka b'avsar." No, that's the wrong implication. It could totally mean this, which means that seemingly Rebbe didn't accept this inference, and Shmuel, who is quoting the teaching, presumably also did not accept this inference. So it's funny that Abaye only quotes it partially. I think the way some Rishonim try to understand what Abaye was saying is that they say, no, this is not necessarily Rebbe's response or even Shmuel's response. It's the Gemara's response from after the times of Rebbe and after the times of Shmuel. So it's not included. It's not this wasn't part of the story or even the Shmuel's original assessment of the story. It was a line that the Gemara inserted later on. But the simple mashmos is that it would be part of the story, and therefore it would make sense to reject Abaye's understanding of it rather than, you know. But we're gonna return to the story a little bit lower on the Amud. Okay, so let's go weiter. Amar Avin. Okay, so Meisve. But now we're going to try to contradict Rav's Shita. Rav is Machmir and says that whether it's for Noi or Shamer, you can't go out with it. So listen to this teaching. Kashra Baleha B'Moseira Kashera. So this is talking about a Parah Aduma. That if it's owners, the owner of the paraduma tied it with the rope, so it's kosher. good kshera. Now, just a quick rule about Parah Aduma is that it can't have, the pasuk says, it can't have any yoke have gone on it. So if this, or any masoi, therefore. So if this would be considered a masoi, if this thing between its horns, a rope between its horns, would have been considered a masoi, that would pasul the Parah Aduma forever. So the isak adaitach, the Gemara says explicitly, masoi hu, asher lo ala aleha ol. It says that there's not allowed to be an ol, a yoke is not allowed to go upon it, meaning no masoi, Amar Rahman. That's what the Torah says. So it seems like this is a rejection. This is a Mishnah and Parah. It seems to be a beferish rejection of Rav Shita. Right? If you think that just a ritsua between the horns, that's considered a masoi, no matter what it's there for, whether it's for Shamer or whether it's for Noi, it's a problem. How do you explain the Parah Aduma over here? That it remains a good Parah, a kosher Parah Aduma, but if it's considered a masoi, it should be a pasul Parah Aduma. So the Gemara offers three answers. Amar Abaye b'molicha me'ir le'ir. Now this is talking about where you're leading it from city to city. And what the significance of that is that typically, let me just find it in Rashi. Typically, here we go. So Rashi says, "B'molicha me'ir le'ir." V'stam para pona l'makom marabet shala v'tzarech la'ochsa kishmolicha le'ir acheres. That typically the way it works is that a cow, when is it considered excessive restraint to have one of these, to have a rope, a ritsua on the cow? That's when it's in your regular town where it'll follow you basically everywhere because it knows its turf, it knows where it's going. However, if you're leading it from one city to another, then you need a little bit more intervention, and then therefore for this animal it wouldn't be considered excessive restraint. And if it's not excessive restraint, then even Rav would say that this is acceptable. Remember, the reason we said that Rav would say that Shamir is usher, not all restraint is usher, just excessive restraint. But in general, when it comes to cows, it's excessive restraint to have even a ritsua. However, for a cow that's going to a different city, not the one it's familiar with, then it's not considered excessive restraint anymore, and therefore that's how Rav would understand this Mishnah regarding the Parah Aduma. It says, wait, why is it still kashera? Because this was shamer, but it wasn't excessive shamer, it wasn't excessive restraint. This cow is being led to a different city, and therefore it is not excessive, and therefore it remains a kasher Parah Aduma. Okay, another pshat. Rava Amar Shani Parah de Meha Yakarin. Parah Aduma is different because it is very valuable. So he says that it's requires extra shmira from when it's young. Seemingly that because it's very valuable, right? Parah Aduma is very rare, very hard to come by. We know this at various points in Chazal. We know it from nowadays, the price of a Parah Aduma for real. They're you know, in the Temple Institute, what they'll pay for to get one of these Parah Adumas. So people, therefore, it's not strange to put excessive restraint on a Parah Aduma. That is expected because people want to make sure they have their Parah Aduma. And last pshat, Ravina Amar Bimoredas, where it is rebelling. So in such a situation, it's not considered excessive restraint if this Parah Aduma is a particularly stubborn one. Right? It had a little too much Red Bull, and it's getting, you know, antsy, and therefore you need to keep it under the reins a little bit more. So these are three possible explanations for why this case of Parah Aduma would be not considered a masoi and it remains kashera, even according to Rav, who says that excessive restraint is a problem in general. Okay. Hasus basher v'chule. So we're talking about a horse that goes out with its, you know, forget all these words. It's a leash, a collar. My yotz. So we said in the Mishnah, my yotzin and my nimshachin. We said that it could be yotzin v'nimshachin. It could go out and be pulled with it. So what do you mean yotzin v'nimshachin? Isn't the purpose of it going out with it to be pulled with it? What are these two different terms used? So Amar Rav Huna. So there's going to be a machlokas. Amar Rav had to understand this phrase. Amar Rav Huna, o yotzin kruchin o nimshachin. It could either go out with it wrapped around, or it could go out pulled. So Rashi says what that means is that the yotzim kruchen means that the ritzua is saviv tzavaran, that it's wrapped around its neck. So v'afal pisha eno uchsa lav masayhu dilanoi nami or chayuhu. That even though so if the collar is just wrapped around its neck, but there is no leash holding on to it, so it's not for uchsa, it's not for grabbing, it's not for leading it, but it's there for noi, it's just there for beauty. But because that's typical, right, it's typical, not like a cow having something between its horns, but this is typical for like a horse, one of these animals, to have a collar for beauty, or chayuhu, says Rashi, this is not all Rishonim agree with Rashi about this, but Rashi, this is Rashi Shita, that if it's typical for it to be its decoration, then you can go out with it. So whether it's kruchen, it's wrapped around fully, or you're using it for nimshachin, for pulling, either way, that would be acceptable. That's how Rav Huna understands it. So Rav Huna says that the chiddush is not just nimshachin, not just if you pull it, but even if you don't use the collar to lead it, it's no leash, but it's just a collar for beauty, even so, that would be mutter on Shabbos, it is not considered a masoi. That is how Rav Huna understands this Mishnah. However, Ushvishmuel Amar, yotzin nimshachin. These two phrases should be read together. That it goes out and is pulled with it. But not that it can go, you can go out with it, or you can pull it, but it goes out with it, it's for pulling. The ein yotzin kruchen. However, if it's just the collar is just wrapped around the neck, but there's no way to hold it from that collar, then that would not be acceptable. So that's the big nafkamina is this case of kruchen, and it's two ways to understand this phrase in the Mishnah. But misnis natana yotzin kruchen lima sheikh. There's a brisa that's more explicit in accordance with Shmuel, that it says that it goes out kruchen for the purpose of being pulled. So, and just Rashi inserts over here two ways this makes sense. What do you mean? It's kruchen, so how can it be pulled? So it says that, Rashi says, kruchen berevach shiyachu lahachnis yado bein akrach letzavar, that there's a little bit of space between the collar and the neck, so that it's not like, you know, you can stick your hand in there, so even though there's no rope attached, you can stick your hand in and lead it by the collar, even without a leash. Or Rashi says, oh, yaniach ma'at min achevel, or there's a little bit of rope there. Shim bas livroach imahir yachzena, so that if it starts to run away, you can grab it. So what this brisa is saying is that it could be kruchen, it could be wrapped around, as long as there's still a possibility of using it for restraining it, as opposed to just for the purpose of beautification itself. And this brisa would seem to support Shmuel and Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosef says, Chazina lehu le'igle debe Rav Huna, I saw the calves of the house of Rav Huna. Right, Rav Huna is the one who says the first sheet over here. Remember the first understanding that they can go out even for beauty. And he saw them, Yotzin ba'afra sehen kruchin b'shabbos. I saw them going out with their halters, but completely wrapped up on Shabbos. And this would be Rav Huna, l'shita. So, kiyasa Rav Dimi, amar Rav Chanina. When Rav Dimi came, right, he would go back and forth to Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, delivering the teachings from Eretz Yisrael. So he said, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Mulaos shall base Rebbe. Mulaos, what are mulos? So Rashi says they are prados, meaning mules. So mulaos means mulaos, right? Mules of shall base Rebbe. Yotzos bafer sein b'Shabbos. They would go out with their halters on Shabbos. Ibailuhu, they asked a question, kruchin onim shachin. Well, they went out with their halters, but what did the halters look like? Were the halters just like a collar without any leash, or the leash was like wrapped around, or were they pulling? How did Rebbe hold? So Tashma, come in here. Proof ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rav Chanina. Right when Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda came, he said in the name of Rav Chanina, Mulos shall base Rebbe Yotzos b'afer sein kruchim b'Shabbos. That they were kruchim b'Shabbos. They were completely wrapped around, and that's how it was. So now we want to know: do we really need this second clarification? Amru Rabbanan committed Ravasi. The Rabbanan said to before Ravasi, Ha Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda lo tzricha. We didn't really need this teaching of Shmuel bar Yehuda. Rav Dimi Nafka, we could have learned that from what Rav Dimi said. Why? Right, Rav Dimi, again, look carefully at the Lashon. Rav Dimi doesn't mention that they went out kruchen b'Shabbos. He just says they went out b'Afer Sein on Shabbos. He didn't say the Afer Sein were kruchen. He said that they went out on Shabbos with these halters. He didn't clarify that, you know, that's why we asked the question in the first place, right? We asked, hey, Rav Dimi, you didn't tell us if Rebbe's animals were kruchen or not, was the leash fully wrapped around or not. So, what was the case? And then we brought the second testimony to explain, to clarify. So now the Gemara is saying, we didn't need that. We didn't need the second teaching. From Rav Dimi himself, we would have been able to figure it out. Why? And we're about to explain that because Rav Dimi's statement, must have been teaching us something, and that something would have been kruchen, that even if that the animals were kruchen. Right? So, because if you want to tell me that Rav Dimi was saying that the animals could be led, but not, right, meaning that the animals can go out with their collars, that Rebbe's animals went out with their collars, but not like, but there were leashes attached and that they were being led. So if you're going to tell me that Rav Dimi nimshachin kamar, that's what he was saying, that was the big chiddush. So mid Rav Huda amar Shmuel nafka. We would already know that from Yehuda, from Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Right, which is the teaching that we quoted twice already. We're going to quote a third time. Right, to Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Machlifin Hayu Levnei Rebbe. They brought the question and switched it before Rebbe. Shal Zo Bazo Mahu. What's the deal? What's the halach if you switch the cases? And Amar Lafan Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yosi Kach Amar Abba Arba Behemas Yotzas Baafsar Hasus VaPered VaHagama VaHachamor. And again, over by the way, we didn't quote the subscript of the rejection, or actually we didn't quote. We didn't quote any of the inferences over here. But basically, what we see from this teaching is that, and Rebbe seemingly accepts this, that that animals can go out with collars and be and at least have leashes to be led. So if Rav Dimi comes with some sort of testimony, there must be a chiddush in his testimony. He must be coming to tell us the chiddush, not that just that they can be nimshachin, but even kruchin, even if it's just a collar without the leash, even if the collar the leash is wrapped around, even then, it would be that's what Rebbe's animals had, and it would be acceptable. So they're saying we didn't need the second testimony of Rev Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Don't be confused. There are two names over here. We have Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It could be confusing, right? Rav Dimi gave one testimony about Rebbe's animals. We were not sure were they kruchin or not. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda gave a clarification testimony. And we say, but there's a teaching of Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that we quoted twice already, which is a different teaching. Just my first time going through, I got confused. I had to go back and look carefully at the names there. So we're saying that the second testimony of Rav Yehuda, of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, that testimony is unnecessary because Rav Dimi's whole point is a chiddush to add to what we didn't know about Rebbe already from the story the other day of Shmuel's teaching quoted by Rav Yehuda. So that's what the Rabbanim asked Ravasi. Amar lehu Ravasi. Ravasi said to them, no. It's drich lehu. We need both of them. We need that second teaching. De'idim Rav Yehuda nafka havamina. Because if we only had the teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, meaning that story that we said the other day and we quoted earlier on the Amud, if we only would have that story, Havamina, I would have said, Amar lefana velo kiblamine. It doesn't, the end of the story doesn't quote Rabbi Yehuda's acceptance of it, right? There was a question asked before Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. There's a question, I don't want to confuse with any more Rabbi Yehudas, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi, and we don't know if he accepted it. So if you would just give me that story alone, I wouldn't necessarily know what to conclude regarding Rabbi Shita. And therefore, Rav Dimi's Chiddush might just be nimshachin, and not kruchin. There, kamash malan derev dimi. So kamash comes to teach me to clarify Rav Dimi's testimony. See, Rav Dimi's chiddush is a necessary chiddush even Nimshachin, and therefore we need the second testimony as a clarification that Rav Dimi was talking about Kruchin. The Eder of Dimi, and if we only had the teaching of Rav Dimi, and not the other one, Hava Minahani Mili Nimshachin, Aval Kruchin Lo. I would have thought that, right, again, that Rav Dimi was saying it's Nimshachin, but not Kruchin. Kamash Malan, Derev Shmuel Bar Yehuda, therefore we have the teaching of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, which is that, nope, they were indeed Kruchin, and that is the clarification.